Please turn again to Acts chapter 13. In verse 2, we read these words. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Let's bow again in prayer. Let's seek the Lord's face as we come to consider God's truth this afternoon. Our gracious, loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for the privilege of serving Thee. O God, we recognize we have only one life. It'll soon be past, and only what's done for Jesus will last. O God, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for the day and for the hour when You called us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy help given from that day to this. And O God, we just pray again this Lord's Day that You would fill us afresh with Your gracious Holy Spirit. We thank Thee, Lord, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And O God, we thank Thee for this church open 40 years for the preaching of the gospel. We pray, Lord, that in these days You would come and send us a breath of revival. And O God, as we look into the future, we pray, Lord, in Thy will, O God, that it might preach the gospel for another 40 years and beyond. We pray, O God, that the message of saving grace might be ever sounded from this pulpit. We thank Thee, Lord, for faithful men who have stood in this place and declared the full counsel of God. And O God, we just pray that You would come, Lord, and bless us as we open Thy word again this day. We thank Thee for this congregation. We thank Thee, Lord, for those who have faithfully come and worshipped here. We thank Thee, Lord, for those that You've saved in this church over these past 40 years. And O God, we just pray in these days again that You would save many, many more. We ask Thee, Lord, especially for those, Lord, who perhaps have sat in this congregation for 40 years or almost 40 years, and they're still not saved. O God, that You would reach down and pluck them as brands from the burning and redeem them by Your precious blood. Lord, undertake for us now. We pray, O God, that You would give us again a word in season. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Last Sunday night, in our studies on highlights from the life of Paul, we considered Paul the pioneer missionary. Specifically, I drew your attention last Sunday night to the call of the missionary. We studied the beginning of Acts chapter 13, and we noticed the circumstances of Paul's call into missionary work. Paul, of course, was the great pioneer missionary of the New Testament church. He brought the gospel to both Jew and Gentile alike. Indeed, no one did more to advance the cause of Christ in the early days of the church in the book of Acts than the Apostle Paul. This afternoon, I want to draw your attention again to Paul, the pioneer missionary. But today, I want us to consider the work of the missionary. In Acts chapters 13 and 14, we have a wonderful insight into what is involved in the work of the missionary. And although there are many things which happen to Paul on his missionary journeys that may not happen to missionaries today, still all missionary work to a lesser or greater extent involves the same things that we read of in Acts chapter 13 and 14. What do we learn here about the work of the missionary? What does the work of the missionary involve? Each Tuesday night in our prayer meeting, we pray for the missionaries. And certainly I would encourage you to continue to do that. If there's a day and age when we need to pray for our missionaries, then it is this day and age in which we live. But what is the work of the missionary? What does it involve? Well, I want you to notice a number of things here And I pray that the Lord will take his word and write it upon all of our hearts. And that even after today, that we will pray for the missionaries more. I pray that the Lord will lay all our missionaries upon our hearts, and that we will remember them continually around the throne of grace in prayer. First of all, I want you to notice that the work of the missionary involves evangelization. Spreading the message of the gospel is the great work of the missionary. And there's no doubt that throughout Paul's three missionary journeys, that he did just that. Now, if you're familiar with the life of Paul, and I know that most of you, if not all of you, are, then you will know that the Apostle Paul went on three great missionary journeys. And as he went on those three great missionary journeys, his sole purpose was to evangelize the heathen, to spread the message of the gospel. Did you know that on Paul's first missionary journey, that he traveled 1,290 miles? On Paul's second missionary journey, he traveled over 2,800 miles. And on Paul's third missionary journey, he traveled over 3,500 miles. Therefore, on Paul's three missionary journeys, Paul traveled 7,690 miles in order to evangelize and spread the message of the gospel. And of course, travel then was not the same as travel today. Paul's traveling would have been done mostly on foot. So you can see here the great effort that Paul would have put into these missionary journeys in order to evangelize and in order to bring the message of the gospel to those who had never heard this wonderful message before. In Paul's first missionary journey, the apostle evangelized Cyprus, Perga, Pamphylia, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and Antioch. In all these places, Paul preached the message of the gospel. In all these places, Paul did the work of the evangel. And of course, we read about Paul's first missionary journey in Acts chapters 13 and 14. Now, of course, we haven't got the time today to read down all of these verses and to consider exactly what happened in all of these places that I have mentioned, but you take the time when you go home and you read again Paul's first missionary journey. Indeed, take the time to read through the book of Acts again and read all of Paul's missionary journeys, and you will see that his sole aim and sole purpose was to evangelize, to bring the message of the gospel to those who had never heard the message of the gospel before. You see, an evangelist is one who loves the souls of men. And an evangelist is one who seeks to win the souls of men. An evangelist is one who seeks to tell them the truth of the gospel. And you know, Paul was a faithful missionary. He was a faithful evangelist. He was a faithful preacher of God's truth. Keep your hand in Acts chapter 13 for a moment and turn over to Acts chapter 20, and here's Paul's testimony, and this is what the apostle says in Acts 20 and verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He held back nothing. As he went to evangelize, he preached the full counsel of God. Not only did he tell them about heaven, but he warned them about hell. Not only did he tell them about the love of God, but he told them also about the wrath of God and the judgment of God upon sin. And he exhorted all that he came into contact with to repent and to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 31. And again, you can see how Paul went about his evangelization. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Oh, here was a man who had a deep love and compassion for the people that he was seeking to win. Oh, I wonder today, those of you who are found here and you're not saved, my friend, do you realize that you have a soul to be saved? That's why every time we get up to preach, every time we preach the message of the evangel, we preach it from God's precious word, and we seek to set before you the whole counsel of God. And that's why we seek to exhort you to come to faith and repentance in Christ, because all men need to be born again of the Spirit of God. And child of God, those of us who are saved, let us continue to remember our great responsibility. Oh, we may not all be missionaries, and we may not all go to the foreign mission field, but we have a mission field around our church here. When we look out into Chanter Hill, the Temple Road, into Enniskillen, and further afield, in County Fermanagh, we have men and women, and some of them have never heard the message of the gospel. And many of them are never found in a church building where they can hear God's word week by week. Therefore, it is our responsibility. Surely it is our responsibility. It is the church's responsibility not only to send forth missionaries to the far-flung corners of the world, but it is also the church's responsibility to seek to spread the message of the gospel in their local community. And that's why it is so important to have an outreach team. And that's why it is so important to seek to spread the message of the gospel, giving men and women gospel tracts and talking to them about their soul salvation and seeking to invite them in under the sound of saving grace. Oh, may the Lord make us all evangelists. May the Lord make us all missionaries. May the Lord give us all that desire to seek to warn men day and night with tears, even as the Apostle Paul was such a man. May the Lord make us such men and women in these days in which we live. But I want you to notice something else here in Acts chapter 13 and 14 about the work of the missionary. Secondly, the work of the missionary involves not only evangelization, but it involves opposition. No matter where Paul went on his missionary journeys, there were those who opposed the message that he preached. Indeed, on many occasions, Paul met with great opposition as he sought to evangelize. Now, we're not going to take the time again to read all of these verses, but let me point them out to you. If you've got a pen, you can jot them down. In Cyprus, Paul was opposed by Elymas the sorcerer. You can read that in chapter 13, verses 6 to 8. In Antioch, Paul was opposed by the unbelieving Jews. Chapter 13, verses 45 and 50. You'll see there how the unbelieving Jews in Antioch turned against Paul and wanted nothing to do with his message. In Iconium, Paul was again opposed by the unbelieving Jews. Chapter 14 of Acts, verses 1 and 2. In Lystra also, Paul was stoned and left for dead. Chapter 14 and the verse 19. And this only covered his first missionary journey. All this opposition took place when he was on his first missionary journey. And when he went on his second missionary journey and his third missionary journey, there was even greater opposition, with the result that Paul was finally arrested and imprisoned for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, no matter where the message of the gospel is preached, the devil will see to it that God's servants will be opposed at every turn. And certainly when you study the ministry of Paul, and when you consider closely the missionary journeys that he went on, no matter where he went, there was always those that stood against him. There was always those who stood for evil And of course the devil will always have those who will oppose the message of saving grace. Child of God, we need to pray for our missionaries. That's why we need to take them upon our heart, that God will protect them from day to day as they serve the Lord. Now, I know that in many incidences in this 21st century, missionary work is not what it was like years ago, but still, there are many missionaries who face many dangers. Indeed, all missionaries, even our missionaries in Northern Ireland, missionaries in the south of Ireland, missionaries across the United Kingdom, they face many dangers, and we need to pray for them. Indeed, we need to pray for all of God's servants, whether on the foreign field or the home field, that the Lord will keep his hand upon them. Paul, the pioneer missionary, always desired the prayers of God's people. This is a very interesting fact. Keep your hand in Acts chapter 13 there for a moment, and turn over to the book of Romans in the chapter 15, and look with me there at verse 30. Paul said when he was writing to the saints at Rome, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Oh, Paul recognized that more than anything else, he needed the prayers of God's people. He needed the prayers of the saints of God. Turn over again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and take a look there at verse 25. And you'll read these, or rather 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 it is. And verse 1 it says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Can you see there that time and time again, as Paul wrote these epistles to the churches, that he exhorted the saints to pray for him, because he knew that wherever he went, that he was going to face opposition, that there were going to be trials, that all men had not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that's why it is so important in these days, child of God, that you and I take our missionaries upon their heart, upon our hearts. That's why we need to come to the prayer meeting and pray collectively for the missionaries. Pray that the Lord will keep his hand upon them and cover them in the precious blood. And even at home, when you get down on your knees in your own private closet, oh child of God, I pray that you'll not forget those in full-time service. Not only the missionaries, but our ministers and our students and all those who are in full-time work, that the Lord will bless his servants and that the Lord will keep his hand upon them, because there's great opposition and the devil will see to it that God's servants are attacked on every hand. Oh, thank God today that the Lord, however, has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And even in the midst of Paul's persecutions, as he went forth to spread the message of the gospel, the Lord was with him. And we're going to see that in further studies. But opposition, there will be much of it in the work of God. Let us pray earnestly that the Lord will come and bless our missionaries and keep his hand of protection upon them. Now, notice something else here in Acts 13. Thirdly, the work of the missionary involves not only evangelization and opposition from the enemies of the gospel, but the work of the missionary involves disappointments. The first big disappointment that Paul had to face on his first missionary journey was John Mark deserting them and going home from the mission field. Now, we read at the beginning of Acts chapter 13 that they had John to their minister. Look there at verse 5. As they went on their first missionary journey. And when they were at Salamis, that's Paul and Barnabas, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jew. And they had also John to their minister. John was there encouraging them. John was there helping them. John Mark was there supporting them in every way. But take a look with me there at verse 13, and you'll read these words. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returning to Jerusalem. And this was a great blow for the Apostle Paul. This was discouragement for the great apostle, because John started off well, but then for one reason or another, he got discouraged and he went back to Jerusalem again. But you know, Paul had many discouragements throughout his missionary journeys. Many discouragements. Just keep your hand in Acts chapter 13 and turn over with me for a moment to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And you'll read these words in verse 10. Here again, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to young Timothy. And he says in verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas, of course, had helped and supported Paul in the work. But now he too, like John Mark, had forsaken the apostle. What a disappointment that was. Look at verse 14. Paul said, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil." My, what a discouragement that was. Look at verse 16. "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be led to their charge." Oh, there was a time during Paul's missionary work as he sought to serve the Lord that it seemed that all men forsook him. What a disappointment that was. You know, there are many disappointments in the Lord's work. Perhaps one of the greatest disappointments is seeing people profess faith in Jesus Christ and then not walking with God, turning back and going into the world again. But you know, child of God, even the great apostle Paul had such experiences. You know, when we think of the book of Acts, we think of revival days. And so it was. There's no doubt that the outpouring of the Spirit was evident to be seen in the early church. And many were saved and many churches were planted, as we're going to see just in a moment. But the truth is this, that there was much to discourage as well. And there's much to discourage the saints of God and the servants of God in this 21st century. My, if Paul could be discouraged in his day when revival was evident and when the Church of Christ was going forth with great strides, how much more can we be discouraged in these days? And I believe that there are many of God's servants discouraged in this 21st century. And maybe you're discouraged in the work of God. Well, you say, "Preacher, but I'm not a missionary." But you know, as I have emphasized there, the Lord has called us all to serve Him, whether in a full-time capacity or not. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe that's the reason you don't come to the prayer meeting anymore, because you're discouraged. Maybe that's the reason you don't go in the outreach team anymore, because you're discouraged. Maybe that's the reason why you don't help in the children's work anymore, because you're discouraged. Oh, child of God, listen to me. Don't be discouraged. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. I refuse to be discouraged in these days. I refuse to be discouraged. I refuse to allow the devil to discourage me. God has called us to the kingdom for such a time as this. And although times are hard and it's difficult to get people into the gospel meetings, and although it's difficult and we struggle at times, let us press on. Let us press on towards the mark of the great calling of God, high calling of God. Because soon Soon we will hear that, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." The truth is that there are times when God calls us to serve him in hard times. Do you think the church has always been in revival? Oh no, friend. Revival is the exception. Hundreds of people getting saved, thousands of people getting... That's the exception. Oh, I pray for those days that God would bring them back again. But those days are the exception. The saints of God who witness such times live in great blessing. But what about the other saints of God who have to hammer on when times are hard and when there's no revivals and when there's no evident outpouring of God's power? And they have to spend their life serving the Lord in such circumstances. Oh, I tell you that the Lord has promised to give us strength in time of need. And we must keep going on. And that's what Paul did. Paul's ministry, there were times throughout his ministry when the times were difficult, when the mission field was hard, when the grinding was continual. But thank God he kept his hand to the plow. And that's what we must do in times of difficulty. In the work of God, when the tide seems to be out, we need to keep our hand to the plow. Because he that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back, remember, is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. So let us keep on preaching, and let us keep on praying, and let us keep on evangelizing, and let us keep on sowing the seed. For one sows and another reaps. But remember, this is the Lord that gives the increase. One final thought I want to leave with you. And it's this. Fourthly, the work of the missionary involves great satisfaction. On Paul's first missionary journey, the apostle took great satisfaction in five things, at least five things. You study Acts chapter 13 and 14. First of all, he took great satisfaction when Sergius Paulus was saved in Cyprus. Chapter 13, verse 12. One soul gets saved in Cyprus. That's all we're told that gets saved. Maybe others did get saved, but there's no mention of them. So therefore, I can only say what the scripture record reveals. He went to Cyprus and he preached in the two major cities in Cyprus, and only one soul was saved. But he rejoiced in that. He praised God for that. Oh, child of God, we should praise God when even one soul is saved. He took great satisfaction when the Gentiles received the truth in Antioch. Acts 13, verse 42 and 48. My, what wonderful blessings Paul received in Antioch when the Gentiles turned to God and were saved. He took great satisfaction when revival broke out in Iconium. Look at chapter 14 and verse 1. We'll read this. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. So from Cyprus, only seeing one soul saved, to Iconium now, and the whole city has been stirred up, and both Jews and Gentiles believe. A great multitude of them. Oh my, what satisfaction there was there. What encouragement there was there. He took great satisfaction also when the crippled man was healed at Lystra, chapter 14, verses 8 to 10. He took great satisfaction also when elders were ordained in every church, chapter 14, verse 23. Oh, child of God, there may be the disappointments and there may be the opposition, but thank God there will always be the blessing. Always be the blessing. It's always darkest before the dawn. And if the Church of Jesus Christ is going through a hard time in Ulster today, which I believe it is, then the Lord has a purpose in that. But I believe the Lord will bring in the tide again, and I believe the Lord will come again into his church and not only revive his people but save the lost. Oh, great satisfaction. And there's nothing greater, there's no more greater satisfaction than to serve the Lord. There's no greater joy than to be in the will of God, serving the Lord. Child of God, on this 40th anniversary of our church here in Bethel, let us keep on serving the King. Let us keep on evangelizing and spreading the message of the gospel. And although there will be opposition and disappointment and discouragement, the Lord will give the increase and bless His word and build His church. Indeed, it was the Lord Jesus Christ who said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Isn't it wonderful to be able to meet in this place today, knowing that the Lord is still building His church? O child of God, I pray that the Lord will encourage you, encourage us all in these days. Pray for our missionaries. Remember the work that they do. And pray that the Lord will give them many souls for their labors. But also remember this, that we are all missionaries. We're missionaries in our homes. We're missionaries in our families. We're missionaries in our communities. We're missionaries in the place we work. We're all evangelists. We should be, at least, because the Lord has commanded us all to spread His truth, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Oh, I pray that in these days that the Lord will open up our eyes to see men not as trees walking, but as lost, perishing souls. Maybe there's someone here this afternoon and you're still unsaved, still a stranger to grace unto God. Oh, my friend, you need today to trust the Lord. When you think of Ulster, and especially men and women who come and sit under the sound of the gospel every week, and they're still not saved, all their lives they've sat under the sound of the gospel and they're still unconverted. And yet there are tribes in Africa, there are people in China and across this world, and they never once have heard the message of the gospel. My friend, if they die in that state, never hearing the gospel, they will be in hell. But I'll tell you this, your hell will be 10 times worse than their hell. I believe there's degrees in hell. My friend, I wouldn't want to be in any place in hell. I certainly wouldn't want to be anywhere in a lost eternity. But those who hear the gospel every week and reject it, their hell will be 10 hells. Compared to the heathen in Africa who have never heard. Oh, may the Lord speak to hearts, speak to your heart, and draw you to Christ. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for all Thy mercy and goodness to us. We thank Thee, Lord, for the day and hour when someone brought the message of the gospel to us. We thank Thee for the missionary who brought the message to us, the evangelist, the preacher, the minister, the Christian worker. And O God, today, because of their efforts and their evangelization, we're saved. And we're on our way to heaven. O God, I pray this Lord's Day for the missionaries, Lord, who are still unsaved. The missionaries, Lord, who still preach to the unsaved, rather. Missionaries, Lord, who seek to go and spread the message of the gospel. Oh God, I pray that You'll bless them and bless the message that they preach. And oh God, I pray that You'll make us all missionaries, that we will all seek, Lord, in these days to spread the message of saving grace. And oh God, I pray for those in this congregation who have sat under the sound of Thy word for many years. Have mercy upon them. And draw them to Christ. O God, revive us in these days. Those of us who are Your saints. Help us, Lord, to realize that life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. Help us, Lord, to shine out in our testimonies. And help us, Lord, to be those that will be remembered when we leave this scene of time. For remembered as those who love the Lord and serve the Lord. For in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it.